and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And today on the podcast, we have the lovely Victoria with us. Hi, Victoria.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. This is really exciting.
Honored to have you. We have spent the last few months getting to know you because you are the owner and creator behind Urbacha School of Pattern Making and Drafting. And so we wanted to have you on now that we have kind of wrapped up the school and just get to download with you, chat with you, and then introduce our listeners to your program because we've gone through it and we just wanted to give them an opportunity to hear from you and what it's all about. They've seen our experience, so we just wanted to chat with you. But before we dive into that, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about who you are to our listeners.
Okay, well, my name's Victoria. I am American, but I currently live in Rome, Italy. I'm married to an Italian. I came here to go to school about 5 years ago and to go back to school for pattern making. I specifically was looking for a big change in my life and was drawn to the idea of learning how to create indie patterns. And I've always been like a real DIY person. Like I'm never satisfied to just like let somebody else figure it out for me. I want to know like how things work down to the, down to the nuts and bolts or the pins and needles, or I don't know what we want to say. I had met this guy, this Italian, and I sought out a school in Rome that was teaching pattern making, and it was a beautiful coincidence. It was the perfect program, and I have since kind of launched myself into a career teaching pattern making and making sewing patterns, and it's been a wild ride, but because my life before that, I was working as an organic vegetable farmer in Montana. So I ran a business before all of this, but doing something entirely different.
Yeah. And these are polar opposite spectrums here.
Well, they're both sewing,
but they're creative. But I mean, like you went from Montana, you know, rural.
I was in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Working with your hands in outside. Now you're in Rome, Italy, a very busy city. Mm-hmm. And you're creating patterns and doing more computer-based stuff.
It's totally true. Yeah, the digital part of things.
Yeah.
It's been a transition. I literally think that I've had to train my brain to tolerate it.
Yeah.
Inside a lot more.
Yeah, as a creative, I struggle with being in front of the computer for long periods of time. I enjoy little bits of it, but yeah, no. I have to be in the right mindset to sit and do it for a long period of time.
I think that the beauty of it is that I don't have to be doing computer work the entire time. No. Like when it gets to be too much, I can sew instead. Like the computer is, I mean, since 2020, it's like, it's just inevitable in all of our lives, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. So you get to Italy, you start this school, this program. How long was the school that you went to?
Well, it ended up being about a 2-year program because the pandemic was there in the middle of it. it would have been a full-time 1-year program, but I ended up, I think I actually benefited from that, from having more time to, kind of work on my own things at home during the lockdown and then go back to school afterwards and kind of, you know, the elongating that time period and having time to kind of like, marinate on what I was learning. I feel like I got a ton out of it. Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
it wasn't easy, but I mean, it was a crazy, terrible time. But anyway, it was
Of course.
But you met your husband, now husband.
Yeah.
And you guys are expecting your first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little one. So it's super exciting. And so what does he do? Isn't he?
He's a chef or a cook or however you want to say it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you eat well.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing about life in Italy, and really the thing that I fell in love with to start. Well, yeah, the food.
The food.
You know,
that's the only reason why I would want to go to Italy is
for the food,
just to like gain 20 pounds and come home.
It's a really good reason. And you don't, well, yeah. And I don't know that you would gain weight. You walk a lot and like you get,
now you're just selling me.
Yeah, it's
the cobblestone.
Exactly. Yeah. I've always wanted to go. Maybe one day.
I know.
One day I'll get to go.
So.
Yeah, you should. We should go, actually.
You can go and climb.
Is this going to be your 40th birthday trip? Is this what we need to plan?
We're going to Italy.
We're going to Italy together to ride bicycles and
eat baguettes. Can you on a cobblestone road?
I don't know. I'm just joking, but you know what I mean. we're going to have a romantic trip together.
Yeah, just maybe not in the city center of Rome. I always feel like the tourists who choose to take bike tours here are like taking their lives
in their own hands,
at risk. It's pretty crazy.
Okay, so for two people who have never been, I mean, how has been the life change from Montana to Italy? Like, what is? I mean, how do you even compare the two?
But is like, it like what fast paced like New York?
To answer your question, Ashley, it's fast paced like New York in the sense that there's traffic, it's loud, but I feel like in comparison, New York feels like this like streamlined machine. Rome is wild. It's very chaotic it's very chaotic. It's a very unpredictable place. Every time I step out the door, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, for me as somebody who, no, seriously, I'm not even kidding.
And the hands are going and they're loud.
Yeah. So I have literally had to increase my tolerance for loud noise, for crowds.
Sensory overload.
For sensory overload. And so that was probably the biggest thing is that I went from being in a very quiet, like, you know, just the birds at night, just the coyotes kind of place.
Yeah.
And to being somewhere where it's like, in the background, sirens, the screaming,
So you live in the city.
Yeah.
But you said you get to walk everywhere a lot, you know, most of the time.
I can't complain. It's just completely different. So, yeah.
That's so crazy. I want to go so bad.
You should. You would love it. It's an incredibly fun place. Like for me, when I would visit here before I lived here, I loved that feeling of energy that it gave me. It was just like so vibrant and wild and like,
I love
places that have a very strong feeling that like, that have a very strong energy. Like I recently went to Miami for the first time and I was like, oh my gosh, this place is so cool. It's so different. I've never been anywhere like this.
It feels like its own little country.
Yeah.
It really does. It's so different than the rest of the state of Florida.
But I also feel that about both of the places that you live. Like I have visited Nashville and I love that vibe. And as a kid went to the Niagara Falls and had the wildest time. And I'm going to tell you this like very small, strange anecdote that for some reason, I don't know what year that was. It was probably like 99 or something. I was in Niagara Falls, Canada. And I swear everywhere my friend and I went, they were playing the X-Files theme song. So we were just like spooked out the whole time. Like there was something in the air that year. I don't know if it was just the time, but you know, the date or
the
era of X-Files or something. But
I think it might have been though.
Yeah,
X-Files was huge then. And
when did X-Files finish? I don't know.
Actually. I don't even remember. Yeah. But everybody knows that sound. It's like ingrained. As soon as you said it, I was like, well, I know exactly what she's talking about.
That song was everywhere we went. I'm not sure. Maybe. And it was also that I feel like there was like an alien kind of buzz then. Aliens were cool. I don't know.
Before Y2K.
Exactly. That was the period. So that was when I visited Niagara Falls. So those are my memories of it. And that's, I know that's completely strange, but.
So you came over to Canada side?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you do the Maid of the Mist boat ride?
I never did. No.
It's not fun.
I still have yet to do that.
I did.
But Bethany did.
I did. And I just don't love being wet and cold. And that's the whole boat ride.
Mistakes were made.
Wet and cold, covered in thin plastic. So that they call a poncho. That was pointless. But other than that, and you can't really, you get that close, you can't really see anything. You're just wet and cold.
Yeah, exactly. It's
and
the
it's
mist.
Loud.
You're in the
really loud.
I guess maybe to feel the force of nature. Maybe that's powerful. You know, I'm not sure.
It was a little too much nature for me.
It's beautiful from afar. So we'll just keep it like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love it other than the boat ride into
there is my a journey behind
misery.
The falls. Did you do that?
No.
You can like walk down. Group. You can walk down and like go behind it, I guess.
That's cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'd rather do that.
Yeah. So when I come visit you,
there
we'll
you go.
Go do that.
We'll go do that.
And we got to do some touristy things. And I was going to ask you, Victoria, like do you feel like you've done a lot of touristy things in your city of Rome that you're living in since you've been there? Or do you find yourself kind of gravitating away from that stuff?
Like the Colosseum.
Yeah. At this point, I don't go to the museums or the, to see that necessarily like the archaeological sites or anything like that. But I did that. And I studied abroad in Italy when I was in college and got a lot of, and did a ton of that. And that's really what made me always like all those years that I was in Montana, I would just dream about Italy. Mm-hmm. And it was like all of my interests in my life have kind of like had a thread that tied me here. So first it was archaeology when I was in college. And then when I studied abroad here, I fell in love with the food. And so I came back for food and that's how I met my husband. And then I was, you know, looking for a complete change of my life and decided to go to school for pattern making. And that was here as well. So it's just a vibrant place. There's so many beautiful cultural things, but it's, I've hinted at this. It's also insane.
I would want to live like in a small little village in Italy.
Yeah.
And then like maybe not too far from the city.
And there
you still get that.
There's something to be said for that because the cost of living in a place like that is extremely low.
Right.
And I think the quality of life is extremely high.
Yeah.
So
We're moving.
Grow your own food, grow your own chickens.
Yeah,
you've already got experience with all that. So growing your own food. So
I hope to do that again someday. It's just I like to say that I'm a landless farmer right now. I still have a farmer in my heart, but I just don't have a piece of land to do it on.
Ashley and I love our gardens and we talk about our gardens a lot. And I'm like a let's just see what happens and try new things every year and don't really research. I just plant it and go. Ashley just knows a lot. She's like propagating and she's like growing her plants in her basement before she can plant them. And I'm just like,
you have to do that in Canada. It's too cold. You can't.
Yeah. That's true. Tennessee, it's like a difference thing.
Mm-hmm. I planted my stuff in the ground back in April.
Do that in the north.
and I'll still get stuff from it till late October, early November even. So I have a longer gardening season, but we just kind of have fun with it. But I'll send her messages. I'm like, hey, does this look okay? How do I harvest this? Should I be doing so? This is looking, you know, like I could research it, but she just knows everything. So I just message her. She enjoys helping me.
It's more fun. I prefer that. Like in conversation, sometimes I'll be like, we could Google it or we can just talk about it.
It's, you just learn. I don't know. She has different ways of doing things. And I was just like, oh, that's really cool. Like I started growing pumpkins for the first time this year and they have blown up. I did not place them in the ideal place. They're like,
No, she didn't.
Nope. No, you can't even see my peony bushes anymore. There's carrots under there somewhere. It's just spreading.
You learn.
It'll take over my fire pit area before too long. But she was telling me like the different flowers and how to like
the male and female flowers.
Just, Yeah.
To make them love each other, to make sure you get a pumpkin.
Yeah, it's smart. It's smart if you don't have a lot of plants and you're not sure if the pollinators are doing the work, you can get in there and do it yourself.
Well, there's been bees, so I'm not too worried about it. And all of my female flowers have little pumpkins growing underneath them, and some of them are significant already in size.
They go fast.
They grow very fast. So things I didn't know, right? Yeah. Like, again, throw it in the ground, see what happens. I should have done some research on those. But other than that, this year's garden is going very well. But we have fun. We talk about that sometimes. It's funny. We have a lot of guests that have been on that are sewists, but also really enjoy gardening. So sometimes I feel like it's an interesting balance of how we all kind of, a lot of us end up doing those two hobbies in a sense at the same time. I don't know. For me, the garden gets me out of my house for a few minutes. It gets me in the sun versus being in my sewing room all day, which I also love to do. But anyways,
but so maybe one day. You have baby plants to take care of outside, so you got to go.
And my son gets involved. He likes to help with it.
Yeah.
And I know Ashley's kids like to help with it too. So it's fun. We like to try new things, and it's a whole process. We planted a lot of new stuff this year. So anyways, super fun.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I'm curious about that, or I've wondered about that, like how much crossover there is between the worlds of sewing and gardening. My feeling has always been that, like, if you like to DIY one area of your life, you probably like to DIY others. Yeah. But I do meet some people that are very strictly like, no, sewing only.
Yeah. And let's chat a little bit, because we kind of mentioned the school and your pattern making and all of that. But, and, you know, you went to school for all of this, but I mean, I guess we should start with what made you want to focus on sewing? How did you learn to sew? Where did your passion for that start? Because that's where it starts before you decide to go to pattern school and then start your own school.
Yeah. I mean, there are different paths towards it, but I guess I'm one of those people that kind of learned when I was really young that my grandmother sewed and my mother sewed, and my mom is the one that taught me how to sew. And I really feel like I got into it in like middle school, like early high school. I started kind of like upcycling stuff and scrappy kind of punk kind of things. I remember I like did one of those skirts that was made out of like just a whole bunch of men's neckties that were you know,
Admiral Levine of you.
Yeah, it was kind of that thing. And
that's hilarious.
Went through the whole phase of like buying patterns at Joann's and making things out of quilting cotton because I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. And
like making garments out of quilting cotton.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it, but I definitely found at a certain point that there was just a huge gap between what I was able to find patterns for and what I wanted to be making and wearing. Mm-hmm. And so there was like that void there. This is pretty, I was feeling this before like the indie sewing world really exploded.
Yeah.
And even once it did, like I still wasn't quite finding what I was looking for, you know, or what I felt I like really resonated with as far as my lifestyle and my personal style. Mm-hmm. And so that coupled with an interest in having, well, okay, let's put it this way. As a farmer, I loved my work. It was very tangible work, right? You're literally like reaping food out of the soil and taking it to market and giving it to people who are taking it home and eating it. Like, it's this very tangible thing, but that means that all of your income, all of your productivity is like based on physical output. And so the idea of creating a digital sewing pattern, something that is like infinitely reproducible, really appealed to me as the farmer, just from like being the complete opposite of what what I was doing at the time of like, you know, physically carrying crates of zucchini to make, you know, $50 or whatever. Seriously. And $50 a crate or something. And the idea of a digital sewing pattern just like was like seemed just like the holy grail in comparison. So I that was really what kind of motivated me, was not only did I love this stuff and see the need, or the potential need for a style like mine in the, you know, in the sewing pattern market, and just have the curiosity to know, to want to know how to do it myself, if not to sell, just to know how to do it for myself, how to make patterns for myself, that, cause I wasn't satisfied with simple patterns. I wanted to really understand how I could make complex things.
Yeah. Do you find that using the paper patterns that you would get like from Joanne, like the McCall's, the Butterick's, sure, simplicities, like sometimes, at least I feel like they might be a little better with some of the newer ones today, but there's a lot of them that the instructions, the terminology, it can feel very foreign and confusing. Does that inspire you to like learn the technical side to, cause I feel like you, when you get your mind on something, you're like, I want to know, like you said earlier, you want to know like the ins, the outs, the whole, how it all works together. So did you kind of like geek out on that and try to learn all that you could about that? And that's kind of what,
I mean, yeah. I'm more of like a project-based learner. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of see some or have an idea for something that I want to create, and then we'll go like, you know, go like obsessively research and figure out whatever I need to for that specific project. Yeah. I'm not, you know, my own approach to like sewing and creating things is not to have tried it all. Mm-hmm. In that way. So there are still so many things that like there's just an infinite world of making garments and then there's, for every technique, there's another alternative technique that might get you the same result, but you know, but there's preference. So, I don't know. I'm kind of losing my train of thought, but the point is that, yeah, I definitely like to figure things out, and I like to do things precisely and beautifully, and get a lot of satisfaction from that. And was very fortunate that my teacher at the pattern making school here was at that level of like really
attention to
beautiful
details,
lots of hand sewing and hand basting things, and really, really fine finishes. Yeah. So
kind of what inspired you to start Arbatya school? I mean, like in your program, in your course, and kind of like, I guess, share with our listeners, like what was the main purpose or goal or that you were striving to reach by starting this program?
Yeah, I would say that, well, my first kind of interest was selling sewing patterns. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I started, was I started developing sewing patterns for sale and found really quickly that I was feeling a lot of self resistance about marketing them. Mm-hmm. And it just never, I mean, I still love the patterns that I have for sale, but it has always been really hard for me to actually grow that business and put myself out there for that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing that during the pandemic. I started working on developing my own sewing patterns, and was still in the middle of my program at school. So, I was being strongly encouraged by my teacher at that time to teach and to teach with her, but that didn't end up working out because of, you know, a number of logistical things. But, you know, her insistence on my capability to do that, and it kept that seed in my mind of like, I probably could do that. But I didn't feel ready right away. Mm-hmm. But it planted the seed of that as a possibility.
Well, to have a teacher that you like looked up to and respected and learned so much from say, hey, I see you naturally have a gift for teaching. Like you might want to, you know, and that's just encouraging regardless of the path that you choose to take. That had to feel really good.
It did feel really good. It felt really validating. It felt like, you know, I took a risk and changed my entire life and I'm doing this thing and people think I'm kind of good at it. So that's nice.
And these doors just kind of naturally open that you weren't anticipating. Right. And that's kind of how it's been for me with like working with Singer, and And these doors just kind of keep evolving and opening. And, you know, when you put yourself out there, like you have with your course, these doors will continue to open, and you just kind of have to be willing to walk through whatever door opens next. Right. And so that's where you're getting this growth, and you're doing all of these awesome things with your school. So I didn't mean to get ahead, but I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that all of these things happen for a reason, I believe. And it's because of the work that you're putting into it, right? Like you were saying before, the hard work that you put into things will pay off if it's what's meant to be. And you've kind of found your niche.
I believe that in life, that like, that all the things that are worth doing are usually pretty hard to do.
Right.
And they're more satisfying. Like I think maybe it's just my personality. I like to like
challenge
myself and work.
Yeah. I don't like to get bored.
Yeah. And pattern making is a really good way to challenge yourself.
As we have learned.
The pattern drafting is challenging, but it's also, there's also like an element of just like an analyzing your own self.
Yeah.
To make your, and if you aren't comfortable with yourself and your body shape, to confront your own measurements and to stand in front of a mirror and look at yourself and see if things fit. That I feel like it's probably been the hardest thing for me. I'm not going to lie.
You made that beautiful shirt though for yourself that fit like perfect.
Perfect. So
I think you had a taste of the satisfaction of what it can be like, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
So, but I hear you, and I hear you. I try to be respectful and cognizant of that when I'm teaching, to let people send me images of their work privately so that they're not having to share it in front of other people.
I know. I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actively sending her these photos right now. Like I'm making the choice to send these.
Oh yeah. So glad you did. I'm so glad you did, because it's, you know, but yeah, that
it's a mental block though. It literally is something that shuts me down, which is not good.
I feel like part of the pattern making and part of the things that I think you kind of mentioned throughout your course is we're making patterns to our body. Mm-hmm. We're so used to buying clothes that are not to our measurements, and we're just accepting whatever is available in the stores that we're choosing to purchase and wear. And that's what we get used to. So then when we're finally able to start making things to our own measurements, and we start learning what looks best on our body, no matter the shape and size, then we find confidence and we enjoy the sewing process of making ourselves clothes, because we value that, how it makes us feel, better than the stuff we could buy at the store.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like, is one of the most powerful things about sewing, is learning to dress for yourself wherever you are today.
Yeah.
And wherever you are going to be tomorrow, you know, it's not about, you know, how things fit. Well, this is how this always fits. Well, that's from a store that's meant to fit a lot of different shapes and sizes. And that doesn't mean it's best for you.
You also some people don't know how things
fit. You don't know what you don't know. Right?
You're like, oh no, like you're like, this is how it's supposed to fit. You can see how it fits on me. And you're like, yes, that's right. And I'm like, yeah, but normally things are like a lot baggier on me. Because that's just
how I've been dressing. But that's
a conscious choice. Exactly. Right?
But then you made that dress recently. What was it? The Tegan dress that kind of hugs like right at the small of your waist. And you were like,
oh, that's how things are supposed to fit.
And then Diana, she sends us, Diana and I, pictures, and we're like, that looks so good on you. And we've just never seen her wear something that was fitted right under the bust, like at the small of her waist. And it just made her show her shape, but it really was the best fit, and it builds her confidence. And then she's like actually seeking out patterns that now like fit and it gave her confidence. She's like, I actually feel really good in this. And I'm like, you should, it looks amazing. Like
it was comfy.
she didn't think that something that could be fitted at the small of her waist could be comfortable, but it actually was. And then it made her feel really good about herself. And now she's got a new look on. I'm not trying to speak for you, Ashley, but you have a new look on, you know, perspective, I guess, on how to fit for yourself and dress for yourself. And I think that gave you a lot of confidence.
For sure.
I mean, that's been a big thing for me too, is when we were like making our like bodice block, like step one, making bodice blocks. And
what is a bodice block first?
Well, I remember making mine. And I've always known I've kind of shaped like a boy. I don't really, but it really was obvious when my bodice block is just straight down all the way down the sides and there's no like come into the waist. I just don't have that. And I was just like, mine doesn't look like hers. Is that my measurements off? And I'm like remeasuring myself over and over. I'm like, it's not. And I had like Brett measure me. I'm like, it's not off.
Yeah, that's so hard. It's so hard to give any example demonstration, you know, because it's just so many variations, so many.
It was just
can turn out
straight line.
But that's part of that is because we put more ease at the waist than at the bust, and partly because the darts were open at the waist.
Yeah.
So, so like there are technical reasons that it looks straighter than your body probably actually is. But anyway. So I don't know. My hope is that like the kind of abstraction of the numbers on the page, maybe even for people who are used to working in inches, working in centimeters can help.
Oh yeah. That's been a bit more big learning curve.
Yeah. That I teach everything at least. Well, I work with people in
centimeters are more accurate.
They're just a little more easy to work with, I think, in terms of fractions and things.
We're centimeters in Canada. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's just me.
Americans. Just want to be
it's
different.
It's just us. It's just us. But you know, the course. Let's kind of talk about the course because there's maybe a lot of listeners who don't understand the purpose of the course, the objective of the course, and how you make it attainable, easier to understand, and make it go a little faster. Because I mean, I went to fashion school. We learned draping and self-drafting paper patterns from draping. And the reason I took your course was to learn the digital version of that. Because that's where we are today.
Yeah.
Of course, I was in school a long time ago before Adobe Illustrator existed.
Sure.
You go through and teach us, you know, a good crash course and set us up for success with Adobe Illustrator. But then you start building on that. And so maybe you can kind of walk people through like a what to expect.
Yeah. So my program is a 90-day program. So just 3 months, 12 weeks, however you want to think about it. And there's a curriculum of videos and worksheets that a person could work through, you know, consecutively and based on their own time and availability. But really what I do is I work with each of my students one-on-one to kind of rapidly move them through that content as quickly as possible and also tailor it to their interests. And I believe that the best way to learn pattern making is to learn by drafting the things that you specifically want to learn to draft. So I will kind of coach people on how to make a good decision about what their first few patterns are. But I really do not focus on moving people through exercises so much as applied exercises. So getting you to understand the principles of pattern making by making the things that you're actually excited about, because that's what's going to keep you coming back to doing this work, as if it's like, if it's gratifying and if it's related to your interests and that's the approach that I take. As far as it being digital pattern making, I think that in a way the digital part happened, I don't know. How do I want to say it? It just kind of like unfolded naturally, in the sense that I of course learned to draft patterns on paper, but my interest was in releasing indie sewing patterns. And so I had to kind of take my skill set that I'd learned on paper and figure out how to use it in Adobe Illustrator to draft these patterns to be turned into PDFs. Mm-hmm. And so at a certain point, I realized that I had stopped working on paper completely and I was just drafting in Illustrator. And it was like, then it was like, oh, now I can teach it because I got it's all on the screen. People are going to be able to do this on the screen. And in the meantime, I had fallen in love with pattern making in Illustrator. Because for me, there are so many other options for working with pattern making digitally. You can draft. There's all kinds of fashion specific CAD programs. So like computer assisted drafting programs, ranging from ones that are intended for people who are hobbyists, all of the way to like these incredible softwares for the industry that cost many thousands of dollars to license and use and have incredible capabilities for manufacturing and all of that. So there's that whole gamut of that. But for me, the thing about Illustrator is it's really the only program you need if you want to create digital sewing patterns for sale. So like PDF sewing patterns, it's the only software you need. And really it's like, it's just a blank slate. It's just a blank slate that allows you to work kind of like if you were drafting on paper, and it doesn't have all of these extra features that get in the way and are just not necessary for somebody who's getting started, with drafting. So there's that, but it also is so much faster than if you're drafting on paper. So, there are probably some things that I could think of that kind of get lost and kind of, there are benefits to drafting on paper or learning on paper first, but just the sheer like scale of it and the portability of it and really the speed with which you can have your basic block or a version of your pattern and just copy and paste it and start over, or like copy and paste it and try something new.
Instead of redrawing it on paper.
Yeah. If you're working on paper, you know, you have to get out another big sheet of paper. Mm-hmm. You have to fix it and all in place so it's not going to shift. You have to trace. Like, it's very just that act of like making a new version of something, testing an idea is time consuming and involved. And so when you're learning and you're like iterating and trying different things, you can have that all on one screen, just copy and paste, try something and start over, try something and then try it again. And that ability to work through versions really quickly, I think it really makes it possible to learn a lot in 90 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Illustrator.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really know much about Illustrator and I was a little nervous about starting not knowing the software side. And then like the first whole section of your course was just getting comfortable with Illustrator, learning all the features. And then you even went through, because there's a lot of things you can do in Illustrator, but you went through and helped us set up like just the tools we need.
A simplified workspace. Yeah, that's like the simplified first thing I do. Like,
I wish someone did that with me when I first started Illustrator.
I know.
I didn't even know you could do that. A lot. It is a lot. It's intimidating.
It's an intimidating program if you've never really sat down and played with it and been taught how to use it. Mm-hmm. But you made it easy to pick up. So for anyone who's like, oh, I'm not very tech savvy, like she makes it very easy.
Bethany's a prime example. She did it. Anybody can do it.
Thank you. It's true. I don't take that as an insult. She knows.
I didn't notice anything. We're good.
It's funny.
You had so many doubts, though. You really did. You're like, I don't know.
I did. I'm just not a techie person. I can figure out some stuff, but
you're pretty good.
I'm better if someone shows me how to do it once or twice, and then I'm good. I'm a quick learn, but I'm not going to sit down and figure it out for myself. That's the difference.
Yeah,
Ashley will sit there and troubleshoot until she figures it out. And I'm just like, hey, here's something we need to do with our website or something. And she just goes and spends hours doing that. I'm not that person. Yeah. So but she'll figure it out. And then she'll show me how it does works. I'm like, see, I knew this all along.
that's why I keep you around.
So anyways, so that was a big concern of mine. And I have to say that you squashed that concern pretty quickly because you were like, this makes it very easy. The other thing is, I think Ashley had a concern about this too, is there's a lot of math involved with pattern making. And I knew that because I've done it. It's been a while. And I was like, oh, fractions and math and centimeters.
Divisions.
And I was
like, dividing. So many divisions.
First of all, I still have to Google like inches to centimeters. Okay. But whatever. Sure. but I'll eventually wrap my head around that. But anyway, so we had some concern about that, but in how quickly that process was going to go. And you create spreadsheets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the formulas built in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of, for the most part, there's some things we calculate, but for the most part, it's a plug and play kind of put your numbers into the spreadsheet and it tells you what each part of your block needs to be to build that block.
Yeah. That's something I observed. And I mean, both for myself and observing other students in my school when I was learning pattern making was that I just watched everybody like, you know, working through the calculations, like having to start over with and starting a fresh block for something. And, you know, I felt like we all just spent all day working through the math, you know, even if it was, not a ton of math required. Mm-hmm. It just takes time and you have to be precise. There's that opportunity for making a mathematical error.
Right.
And I having observed that and knowing that about myself, that it is kind of like a barrier to getting started with something. I mean, I just had the experience, like I think a lot of people do, of wanting to learn pattern making, buying the expensive pattern making book, cracking it open and being like, oh, I don't know about this.
Every pattern making book is different though. Every formula.
Yeah.
Like I like your formula though. Like I feel like yours makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It helps me eliminate that room for error too. Like you were saying, it's like, if there was a mess up in my block, it's probably because I took a measurement wrong more than it wasn't because I did the math wrong. You had that, you know, built into the spreadsheet to do that. So it was usually if I had like my shoulder was dropped, it's like, I didn't take
that measurement
properly.
Was it
that
we did wrong? Our husbands took our measurement. Yeah,
that's what it was.
That's what we did wrong is we got our husbands involved.
Yeah.
I'm prepared for that. I'm prepared for that. That is a universal problem. I don't really know how to avoid it. It's that darn
shoulder.
Send
them a private video, maybe.
Maybe.
This is funny the husbands.
Yeah.
It's funny because we both had the wrong measurement.
We did.
We both had the wrong back measurement.
That back shoulder width throws everybody off. So
it does. Almost like it's bra strap to bra strap. You know?
That's back width, but back shoulder width is like from here to here across your back. Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And so, that one, it's hard because there's not a set point.
No,
right?
You can't just be like there.
No, totally. Some parts of the body, like I do like to think of the creating the blocks as like kind of mapping the body, like we're talking about from like a landmark point to a landmark point and taking a precise measurement from that area.
Bone to bone or something.
Yeah, but the fact is that like it's not something that you can pinpoint. There are pattern makers who literally put like little crosshairs and stuff like taped on their body and measure between them. Okay. And the farthest I get in doing something like that with all of you is to put an elastic around your waist and measure from that reference point. So, you know, you can take it as far as you need to, but anyway,
I think I just tied like some string around my waist or something, but that helped when Brett was taking some of my measurements. Cause it was like measuring from like shoulder to waist point. I had already measured my waist. So it's like, well, where is that waist? Like to have that, a lot of the measurements measure to the waist point or from the waist point. And so it's like, that having that consistency,
that point of reference. Yeah.
And then learning that your natural waist is like, if you put your hand on your side and you lean over and where it fold, like that fold is into your natural waist, that's your natural waist.
Yeah.
Early 2000s taught me it was way lower.
Right. My husband asks me why his pants always split. And I said, it's because you don't wear your pants on your waist. And he's like, what are you talking about? Yes, I do. And I'm like, your crotch is halfway down your thigh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That the pivot point of the garment is not in the pivot point of the body. Yeah.
Right. So then he pulls them up and then he's like, "Do you like this? Does this look good for you?" And I'm like, yeah, it looks great. I don't know what to do. It's That's for men, it's harder because it's like, okay, I get it.
yeah, totally.
They always wear their pants low.
Yeah.
Brett does the same thing.
We should make low-rise men pants.
Yeah, no, honestly, if they're right, so that it actually rides where it should. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then I don't think they would like that because they're not used to it.
Yeah, like hip huggers for men.
Oh my gosh. Like some of these trends that are coming back.
I mean, right? Like maybe.
No, the ruched
on the front. Oh, in the front?
Yes. Have you seen that? They're
I've seen it in the back, and I remember laughing my head off about it the first time I saw it ruching on the back. But
they were the Christina Aguilera jeans that were so low, and they were ruched in the front, so it kind of V'd down in the front. It was but they have made a comeback. So
At Target,
At Target.
I gotta find a picture. If I can find a picture, I'm gonna insert it so you guys can
see. Because there's no waistband.
Be horrified.
It's horrible. There's no waistband. It's like a frayed edge, mm-hmm. and there's no back pockets, mm-hmm. and it's all very tight. It's
a lot. I can picture this. Yeah.
It's not pretty, is it?
It's a look. It's not one.
Some things just shouldn't come back.
Yeah, it's not one that I would be comfortable in.
No. So for anyone wanting to go through your course, what are some things that you feel like they should need to know and be prepared for before signing up?
Well, I think that it's definitely the sort of course where you can have a kind of simple relationship with it, where you can just do a few exercises and get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. But it's also the kind of course that really rewards being able to put a lot of time into it. And so the more that you are able more time you're able to spend with the course material and with our one-on-one time, mm-hmm. the more that we're going to be able to do together. So that's probably the biggest thing. And I do want to prepare people that hinted at earlier, pattern making is challenging. When you're first learning it, I remember having that feeling of like my brain was electric. Like I was like one of those things at the science center, the lightning bolts. That was my head trying to process all the things and wrap my head around shapes and make decisions about grading. And oh my goodness, it really is a massive skill set, which I'm going to try to impart to you. And I'm going to try to hold your hand through, and try to condense into the shortest period of time possible. But I do, I just have observed that, and I know from experience that it's real mental work. And
it is.
But I also think that that's so rare in our modern lives. We don't get challenged as adults to try to learn new things in that really intensive, building new neural pathways kind of way. So if you're looking for a way to keep your mind sharp, come learn pattern making with me.
Yes. I think for me, I'm going to speak honestly. I there are people in your program who accomplished a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that and I'm like, I'm going to accomplish all these things too.
Yeah.
And then I had to, I think it was about halfway through and I was like, those people and I have different lifestyles.
Yeah, totally. No,
and that's what prevented me from accomplishing all that they did. And then I felt like, oh my gosh, I'm not keeping up. But the reality is it is set to your own pace. The reality is when we signed up for this course, I think I had one trip planned. That 90 days, and I ended up taking 6 because of work, and that's never happened before, and I would have never expected that.
The universe
that slowed me down
against you a little bit. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But at the same time, the fact that these are pre-recorded videos that I can log in while I'm sitting at an airport or in a hotel room and watch and work on Adobe Illustrator while I'm sitting there one night and try to keep up and try to keep doing more. I feel like I still got a lot out of it. And I feel like what I also love is that this content is still accessible to me after the fact of the 90 days. So to be able to still go back and reference it to maybe I'm not making a pattern right now that has darts, but maybe in the future I will, and I need to revisit that content and I can, knowing that that's there as a resource. Cause I found that the more I had to redo things or fix things, the easier it became.
Totally. Yeah.
And like, I feel like I need to go back also. Cause then you like, you go through your course and then
it's all new the first time.
Yeah, exactly. But then when you go back, then all those things kind of get locked in. You're like, Oh, I get it now. Okay, because I've watched it all. Now it's like, okay, so I need to go back and like...
You appreciate the redo amount of things. Stuff that you retained from the first time through, right? Like every time you do it, it gets a little easier and a little easier and you're like, oh. But there's people that have taken your course that this is their full focus. You know, they don't have full-time jobs. They
no kids.
They may not have children, you know, to take care of or other businesses to run. And so this is their focus. And you can see the difference in what they're able to accomplish versus someone like me who had way too much on her plate.
Yeah. I wish I found you like 18 years ago.
I know.
Were you around?
I know. I know.
My life was a little different.
Yeah.
You were a teenager.
But still... I mean, the concept of just being able to have a place where I can learn and then get to jump in on a weekly call to see what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Like at first, I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yes, it was kind of intimidating.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here listening to what they're working on and me seeing what they've learned so far and how far they've come in a short amount of time, in just a few weeks. I'm like,
wow,
look how much she's already learned.
Yeah.
And this is week one for me.
Yeah,
and
that's the thing to keep in mind. So yeah, I have people on the office hours calls that are at every stage. I do start some people in kind of cohort groups, but there's also some ongoing enrollment. So people, at least that's how it's been in the past. So there have been people at different stages, which I know, I'm sure that that's weird. The first time that you get on a call and you're
like, wait, what?
What did I miss?
Know what they're talking about?
Right. But your point exactly. I want people to remember that like they it's not like they've been doing this for a year or something. Uh-uh. They've been in it for a few weeks. Like that.
Yes,
we can get you there in a few weeks too.
Yeah.
So it's also fun to see what other people are choosing to create. There's the people in your course that are taking your course, so that you're getting to meet through this program are from all walks of life with all different
all
interests
in
pattern making, and they're all
the
around the world. And I think that's really, it really kind of made like the sewing community feel a little smaller because we all got to connect in like a more intimate way.
Yeah, because and then you often, use... I mean, you have a podcast, so you're getting to talk to people in that kind of real way.
Yeah. But
besides that, when we see each other on Instagram, we have like this, you know, acquaintance kind of relationship.
Yeah.
But when we all get on a call together and they're like, you know, trying new things and learning together, it's...
And Ashley starts crying on the call.
That's why I haven't been on me. Because I'm like, I'm going to cry every time.
She messaged me and she goes, I just cried during her class. And I'm like,
embarrassing.
Oh no, it's gonna live there. Honestly, when
but
that
was
happened,
good.
Everyone was so, could relate. It's,
they messaged me
really
afterwards
hard.
Too, some of them.
Yeah. People were, the frustrations and the feeling, the overwhelming feeling she was having that came out in your class was... Everybody, like other people in the classroom, I'm feeling that way. It's okay. And
or
it validated
I did, like,
her
last
feelings.
Week, and now here I am, you know,
I try to be supportive and, I guess it, you know, I like to think it's a safe place to be vulnerable.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everyone's very respectful.
But
and I'm sure if
earlier,
you had someone that wasn't, you would kick them out.
Well, I try to, I want to have a relationship with each of my students. It's not this like passive thing where just anybody can sign up. I like, I want to meet people ahead of time and
because it's
make sure it's
very
a good match.
Intimate group.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that everyone is going to be a positive influence on the group as a whole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because it's not like you're taking this individually.
Yeah. And it's very important that it be an inclusive space as much as I'm capable of creating that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that for all those reasons,
I've enjoyed meeting some of the people. Like I said, there's people from all over. There's people that have been following me for a while that saw me sharing about my process of going through and learning that now they're in your course because they're excited to want to learn and take that leap of faith. And so that's the other reason why we wanted to have you on and chat with people is I think if they can see, first of all, get to hear from you directly, like the intentions, what you'll learn, expectations, those kind of things. It kind of helps them feel more confident and comfortable to take that leap that they are capable. Mm-hmm. But to hear from Ashley and I and other people who have taken your course, share their experience of, yeah, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. There's going to be hurdles. You're going to have points where you get frustrated because it's not going to come easy. And to your point before, it's hard as an adult to go back and learn something new. Like we're not in that school mode anymore where it's all new.
Yeah.
And so to access that part of your brain and really access that part of your body that wants to sit and focus on something like that, it's challenging. But once you get the hang of it and knowing that you have a community to beyond just you to be able to ask for help or advice is extremely important. And you use a program called Discord to connect us all and share information. You give video feedback on our homework, as I like to say, that we turn in. Yeah, it's just the stopping points throughout the course where we submit what we've done. So she can check it before we keep going. So if something needs to be addressed then, we fix it then before it becomes, it snowballs if you're not careful, right?
Yeah, totally, exactly.
So having that community.
Yeah,
having those little check-ins.
Yeah.
So I think that's important that you've created that environment digitally outside of your course. Like your course lives on the website, but then having Discord.
Yeah, and the threads and the forums that people can talk back and forth with the students.
Share pictures of their inspiration of what they want to create.
Yeah, and I have to say that I'm leaving that available. Like, it's kind of a handshake agreement that when your 12 weeks are up, like the intensive one-on-one assistance that I provide ends. But you maintain access to the Discord group. And what means is that as new students get in there, like you're going to see all of the activity and have access to all of the videos that I'm recording, giving demonstrations on different garments. So keep an eye on what people are working on if you're interested, because you'll have the opportunity to watch their videos and learn how to draft things from those videos. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry if I'm not being clear for people who are listening.
No.
Like, I ask people to bring ideas of what they want to draft to the course, and then I resource them and set them up and do little demonstration videos, screen recording videos to help them get started on their patterns. So there are tons and tons of videos that I've made for specific garments that even if you don't find something in that Discord resource that is exactly what you want to pattern, there's probably something hiding in there similarly. Yeah. And you can search it. It's all searchable. So you could look for, like, I don't know, a halter top or like boxy top or whatever you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And you can find an example of it. So, there's that as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's important for people to know that they're not just signing up for a course that they walk through alone.
Yeah.
Right. Online. Yeah. And exactly. I mean, it's hard. Like you have both expressed, but how much harder it would be if you don't have anybody to help.
I would have quit a long time ago. Let's be frank.
Well, I was just reading a book. Yeah. Right. No way.
No.
So, so I'm there to help, and to help you through the inevitably difficult process of learning pattern making. Yeah.
I think for me, the ability to, you know, I pull up my iPad or I'll set up my computer with a dual screen and I'll have your video going through the lesson, and then I'll have Adobe Illustrator on my other screen or other device.
I think that's the sweetest setup, is the iPad and then the desktop. Yeah.
And I'm hitting pause, and then I do, and then unpause, and I watch, and then I pause, and I do. And it takes me a little bit to get through it, but I'm able to do it right along with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if I get stuck, I can just rewind and like rewatch, or if I have to go back and fix something, I can just watch the parts that I need. And you can
send me a message, be like, this part don't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Like for me, I would just go for it. And then I'd be like, okay, here's my bodice block, but that shoulder is at a hard angle to a point.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we got there.
Yeah.
And we fix it, right?
Yeah.
And
I usually say, that's cool. Just keep pushing through. I'll give you the whole rundown when you're done. Yeah.
Because when we submit the assignments and you screen record a video back to us kind of walking through, you're showing us not just the things that might need to be tweaked, but you're checking our work and saying, okay, remember we have to make this needs to be this measurement. And you're going through and checking every measurement to make sure. So it's reiterating what we just learned and validating what we did right. But then also kind of going, okay, now you see these 2 points, maybe we need to adjust there. This part's not really squared 90 degree angle for our seam allowance. So how do we fix that?
Yeah.
And just being able to walk through it with what we had created with you. And then I get to go back and fix mine using exactly what I had sent to you and the changes, see the changes you made to mine specifically. I'm like,
I try to use,
you know, they're not, like you said, they're not all going to look the same. We all have different measurements. So to see you make those changes on mine specifically.
Yeah, exactly. I try to train people to kind of see the big picture. And that's one of the beautiful things about Illustrator is you can literally get this like bird's eye view of all of your patterns and really scan things and look for an overall sense of shape and proportion and, and also find details of like catching little errors and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'd really try to spend a lot of time not only tying your individual feedback back to your interests, but also really like, I don't know, I'm trying to explain all the things I see when I look at a pattern. And so that it starts to unlock and like look like more
creates than good habits for us too.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You do set really good standards for pattern making. That's especially with like adding seam allowances and like, you're like, look, squaring. There's a place to do this, but here's the,
here's how I might do it and why this would be better.
Now, you validate why you do it the way you do it.
Yeah, the why is a huge part of it, because I think there's nothing worse than just, there's so many pattern making books out there that they just give you a number. They're like, just make this 5 centimeters away from that. And it's like, that's cool, but why? Like, why? And so that's the kind of thing that I try to instill in all of in my students and all of you, is that like, you know, there's usually some rationale behind it, and if there isn't, then I might tell you that. but usually there's like some rationale behind why the bodice block has this number, and then check it out, there's also something very similar going on in the sleeve, that's why they fit together.
It's like a puzzle, right?
So if you're a puzzler, you might really enjoy it.
Are you a puzzler? Do you like brain puzzles?
Yeah, for sure.
You like brain puzzles that relate to sewing and pretty clothes.
That's it. There's your marketing right there.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. But I think for me though, is not only am I learning to draft and create my own patterns, but I'm starting to better understand and appreciate the other patterns that I'm using from other people, other indie companies. I'm starting to maybe even raise my standards. You know what I mean? In some of the ones that I've been working with, I'm like, now I'm tweaking those patterns a little bit to be, I just have a better understanding of it, of how that was created. It's just a different perspective.
Yeah.
Instead of just accepting what I was given or what I was, what I purchased as, you know, I can go, it's just a different way of looking at them.
Totally. It's a whole new skill set that, I mean, I think we all do that as sewists, is that we kind of like read the pattern, read the instructions and go, oh, that's cool, but I think I'm going to do it this way instead.
We've all done that. But to look at the pattern itself and the measurements and how they do their seam allowance or how they do their ease in certain things. It's like, okay.
Yeah, you just like it's going to give you variables. Yeah, it's going to give you the opportunity to use that pattern differently if you want, right? To make a better judgment about the size that you might choose, even if it's different than the size they're suggesting, or maybe even put a different seam allowance on it if you think it might work better with a different seam allowance for your needs, for your particular style. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So it's kind of cool. And it also like has helped me when I want to like mash up a couple of different patterns. Mm-hmm. Like how do I take this bodice with this sleeve, with maybe this skirt, and make it work together. Mm-hmm. And understanding how they are created helps you understand how to fit different ones together. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like that kind of mashup.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, yeah, you don't have to draft everything from scratch after this. Mm-hmm. Many of my students are still using other patterns because that's like
that's the shortcut
to develop a pattern. Yeah, it's the shortcut to use somebody else's pattern. There's a reason that, mm-hmm. like, I mean, for me, when I purchase a pattern from someone else, it's like a packaged experience where I don't have to make a bunch of decisions, and that's the whole thing of it. But you also, when you have pattern making skills, have the alternative option of taking the long road and making all those decisions and being the designer yourself. So, it's great to have both possibilities and, mashing things up. You're going to be able to do that in a more precise way than you would have before. Yeah,
for sure. Now you're starting to offer additional support
for
your graduates, as you would say. I mean, they still have access to the course. They still have access to, information in Discord, but you're going a step
completed
further.
The 12 weeks with me. Yeah.
Yeah. So explain that a little bit more, 'cause that's new.
Well, it is new, and it's also kind of like a beta program. Like I don't know if what it will look like in the future necessarily, but there's always going to be things that we can work on together after the 12 weeks. Like there's like an infinite world of pattern making of garments and possibilities out there, and also for people who want to develop sewing patterns for sale, there's like a whole other skill set that we can work together on for, illustrating your pattern, writing good instructions, and making all the decisions that it takes and doing all the work it takes to bring a pattern to market. So, so I'm starting to work with people, with that after the initial 12 weeks of pattern drafting together. I think in the future that I will be offering some kind of ongoing support for those sort of things in the future. Right now it's kind of like a monthly membership. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I'm not sure, but I'm still kind of getting a sense of what is best going to serve students and what people really need.
Because everybody comes into this with different goals.
Yeah.
Some are to create patterns to start selling them. And some are just, I just want to be able to draft patterns for myself or for my kids or I just want to have a better understanding of sewing patterns in general. So everybody has a different like reason why they took the course, but I think it's great that you're offering that assistance for people who really do want to make it like a business and start selling their own designs and giving them not only the skill set to create the pattern, but then take it a step further after the course and give them support for, okay, let's set up what your sizes are going to be for your pattern company, right? Or and set those grading standards or how to go through like the testing process, those kind of support. There's, or writing the instructions. What kind of tutorials are you going to need to support?
It's one thing to learn pattern making in the privacy of your own home, with the help of me, your teacher, and another thing to like to take that pattern and make it ready for the world, make yourself feel ready for the world in that way. But it's a vulnerable process. So I'm working on offering that, and actually I've collaborated with my friend Mandy, Handmade Mandy, on Instagram, to offer a more robust support program. So we're calling it Pattern Incubator right now. And like, this is the same thing that we've been talking about for graduates of the program. But Mandy is doing a series of workshops as a part of this course, and they are going to be available to the public. So, nice. So we'll be announcing that here very soon, that those workshops will be That's available. Exciting. Yeah. So, so everybody will be able to learn from Mandy. She's like the wisest guide for all things pattern testing and instruction writing. I truly believe that.
The pattern testing is like a whole nother right? I've been on the tester side for other companies, and have experienced that a few times. And then, you know, Amy, who owns DIBY Club, that we took this course with, she's been on the ownership side of having people test things. And so we're seeing it from different perspectives. But as you said before, it's very vulnerable when it's your designs that you've spent so much time.
Yeah, people are kind, but it's still scary.
It's still scary. But if you have the right testers who want to see you succeed, who want to see your pattern be its best version possible for everyone, it's part of the process. And for companies that don't go through that process, it shows.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think it's worth doing that. No, but there are ones that do, you know, and, you know, because it really cuts down the turnaround time when you don't do it. But there's a lot to be said for getting that feedback directly from consumers.
Yeah.
Like the testers are your consumers, right? So they're representing the people that are going to be supporting your brand and your patterns once it's released. And so for them to give that feedback of fit and shapes and sizing and all of that is extremely important, and assist with, you know, pattern write, like, or the writing tutorials. That's not everybody's strong suit. How detailed do you go? How much do you lean on the consumer to have some sewing knowledge? Are you going to There's such a range there, right?
What level are you tailoring your pattern toward?
Right.
How in depth are you choosing to be about every instruction? This is the kind of thing that Mandy's workshop series is going to help people work
through
and really outline the decisions that there are to be made and how to make a good decision about each of them. So that, because I know for myself, when I have, you know, started new things in my, both in my farm business and in this, you know, current world that I have of teaching sewing pattern, teaching pattern making and developing sewing patterns, that when sometimes it's like just the need to make a decision that is so that can completely derail you. Like if you don't know how to make a good decision about something, it can be the roadblock that keeps you from getting something done and putting it out in the world. And I really think that that's the value of working with other people, with having a teacher, with having a guide like Mandy, to have somebody who has a larger perspective and can really show you what your options are and how to make a good decision.
Well, if she's walked that path.
Yeah.
So she knows things that you don't even know yet. She knows things that you wouldn't even know to ask about.
Yeah. She's tested like hundreds of patterns, literally.
Hundreds. I had seen her around the sewing community before you brought her into your program. And I think you made a wise choice with her experience and her knowledge. She's very knowledgeable about, like you said, the pattern creation, like the bringing it to fruition to a consumer, that part of the business and getting it there and those details. I think it's a huge asset.
Yeah, and doing it in a really... Yeah, and doing it in a really inclusive and caring way, which is super important to me and most of my students, I think. Yeah.
I encourage our listeners to, if they're serious about learning pattern drafting, pattern making, all of that, if they're serious about it, you're welcome to reach out to Ashley and I, but reach out to Victoria. Like, she is not scared to answer your questions. She wants you to feel confident and comfortable taking her course. Now, I know you said that you were going to take a little break, you know, when going on some maternity leave, but starting in January of next year, you will be reopening in that. And so if you're serious about it, start talking to her now about it. Get on her list of people to reach out to, I'm sure, before she starts opening that back up, because it's definitely been a very valuable course.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to get people to a professional level of sewing pattern in the shortest period of time possible, and also in the most exciting way possible, which is by making the things you're excited about. So
yeah,
I would love to hear like what you're excited about making, and to talk with you about the possibilities and where we might be able to get together if we work together. So starting in January, I'll be accepting new students again. And if you get on my email list, or follow me on Instagram, but I definitely recommend the email list because you will definitely hear about it then. Urbachastudio.com. That's the place.
That's where and we'll have that linked in the description. So you can go and get, she has a lot of information on her website. So you can get a lot of information there, to learn more. But I mean, we talked about a lot. I feel like you got an inside view of what to expect through our chat today. So I appreciate you guys listening. And Victoria, thank you so much for taking time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
You two are the most fun. So cool.
Well, guys, we've enjoyed our chat today. As always, you know that you can tune in on YouTube. We record our videos. We also have our podcast on all major streaming channels, which is probably how you're listening to us today. Be sure to go check out the socialhourpodcast.com. Ashley's, like I say every week, has done an amazing job with our new website. We've got some new content over there that you're definitely going to want to check out, and be sure to sign up for our newsletter so you can stay in the know of who's our next guest and what some exciting things that we have planned for later this year. And we have some fun stuff planned as we head into our 1 year anniversary this fall of our podcast, which we're super excited about. Thank you. Thank you.
Huge accomplishment. No ghost podcast here. This is the real thing.
We're not going anywhere.
We have not skipped a week, man. We're pretty amazing.
That is such a huge accomplishment. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. We have enjoyed it. And if it wasn't so much fun, we probably wouldn't have been doing it. Yeah. But we really do have a blast, and we have connected with so many amazing people through this podcast. Yeah. And like I said, doors have opened because of it, and it's just really cool. So now coming up next week, we have Lindsay, who is the owner of LAM Mac Patterns. So she's going to be chatting with us. I know a lot of you are familiar with that pattern company. So we're actually going to get to talk with Lindsay herself, the owner of that indie pattern company. And so I'm excited to chat with her and learn more about like kind of the behind the scenes and what goes into creating and managing such a big indie pattern company, because they've been doing this for a while, and I'm excited to chat with her. So be sure to check that out next week. And as always, guys, happy sewing. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.